God bless you today in Jesus' name. I pray the life of Jesus Christ would manifest in you more and more as you believe what he accomplished and confess what he accomplished and keep your eyes glued to the serpent on the staff. When I say that, I irritate some religious people, and I shouldn't giggle about it because I'd be irritated 2 years ago if you said that to me. But what do you mean the serpent on the staff? I'll call my Jesus the serpent. If you don't understand the serpent on the staff, you can't really understand the true gospel. He who knew no sin became sin, that we might be made, that's created in the righteousness of God. So you might become a new creation. He became what you are naturally. He took on the nature of Adam, who was the convert of Satan. He took on the seed of sin, which came from the father of lies, Satan. So he became the serpent's seed. He took on that nature on that cross. He never sinned. He became sin that we might, in the same creative fashion, be made into the righteousness of God by a creative work of God. Man, it's marvelous. Yesterday I talked about the law, and there's so much confusion, and I just kind of act like everybody should understand it sometimes, and I have to have the Holy Spirit constantly help me to meditate on his word, hear what he's saying, to really understand the difference of the old and the new covenant. It's not something easily grasped. It's not something that you just can understand by just reading something or hearing somebody say it once or twice, or a million times for that matter. You need the Holy Spirit to really, really help you. Now let me just share for just a minute on a couple of scriptures. Romans 7 verse 1 says, "Do you not know, brethren, for I speak to those who know the law, that the law has dominion over a man only as long as he lives." He said, "Do you not know that the law only has dominion over a person as long as they're alive?" He says in verse 2, "For the woman who has a husband is bound by the law to her husband for as long as he lives. But if the husband dies, she's released from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband's alive, she marries another man, she'll be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she's free from that law, so that she is not an adulteress, though she gets married to another man. Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead, so that we can bear fruit for God." Let me focus on that verse 4. It is so packed full of amazing, powerful revelation. It just makes, I can't even hardly describe what I feel inside when I really understand what that means. "Therefore, my brethren, you," he's talking to the born again, "you also," just like a man that dies and he's no longer under the law, "in that same way, you have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, so that you can be married to another, to the one who was raised from the dead." Now, listen, this is so powerful. How did you die to the law? Through the body of Christ. Because the body of Christ was crucified. He became the life of Adam that the law was given to. Man, if you could get this, Lord have mercy, Jesus. He became the life of Adam that the law was intended for. And that life of Adam was crucified on the cross. So the law that was for that life died with that life. Now, a lot of people are running around talking about we're not under the law and doing all kind of crazy stuff. Listen to the rest of the verse. It's so powerful. You died to the law through the body of Christ. When he became the life of Adam, he crucified that life. You died with him. I know it really happened, but it happened in the spirit. And you have to believe that by faith and confess that to see the power of that in your life. But that's something else. Let me move on. The scripture says, you died to the law through the body of Christ when he was crucified, so that you could be married to another. Now listen, the same Jesus who became sin, he became the life of Adam. Adam was a serpent seed. Adam was a convert of the devil. Adam was a sinner. And everybody born of Adam was born with the nature of Satan, the nature of sin, the nature of lies, the nature of rebellion. All men are liars. Satan is the father of lies. So Jesus became sin that we might be made the righteousness of God. So when he became us, he became sin, he was crucified, and we were crucified with him. But then Jesus rose, not as the life of Adam, but as the life of the Father. He rose in newness. He rose in the life of the Father, and that life of the Father, Jesus Christ, was seated at the right hand of God. So listen to this. He says, you died to the law through the body of Jesus Christ so that you could be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead, so that you can bear fruit to God. Let me do this as quick as I can. Obviously, it's going to take us all a while to really grasp all this and chew on it and really get it in our spirit and learn how to walk in the new covenant. But basically, he's using basic, simple human terminology to try to help us understand something spiritual. Before you died with Jesus, you had a husband. It's the law of God. It was there to show you what was wrong with you. That's what it came for. But when you died with Jesus, you were free from that covenant. You're free from that marriage. You get that? You're free from that covenant. You no longer have to be faithful to that covenant. You no longer have to follow that. You no longer have to make sure you don't cheat on that. That's what he's saying right here. He's saying you were free from that covenant so that, not just to set you free, but so that you could marry another. The whole reason you were delivered from that one is to marry another. Because God doesn't just set us free from the old covenant. He delivers us into the new covenant. So you need to get married to another. Who were you married to? You were married to the law that was showing you your unrighteousness. But now you are married to the resurrected life of God so that you can bear fruit for God. You see, the more you begin to understand the new covenant, the more you understand the new man, the more you understand what he's accomplished at the cross, the more you believe in the new man, the more you confess what he's done, the more you begin to see the fruit of what he's done manifesting in your life. If you're married to the law, what are you going to produce? If you try not to kill, try not to steal, try not to commit adultery, try not to whatever. If you live your life trying to be a good person for God, what are you really going to produce? What's going to happen? You're going to end up under the curse like everybody else and still face the same consequences as everybody else does. You may be a little better behaved than somebody, but you can't really bear the fruit of righteousness because there are none righteous that have the life of Adam, not even one. But if you marry the resurrected life, if you're born of his life, and you cling to that life, and you're faithful to that life, not by doing, but by believing and confessing. There is a doing there, but it's not the same as the doing of the old covenant. The doing of the new covenant is to believe on the one that he sent. So how can you be faithful to your new spouse, the life of Jesus? How can you be faithful to this resurrected life? You always constantly believe in it. You always confess it. You don't turn back to the miserable principles of the law, thou shalt not, because it's not going to accomplish anything truly righteous. You stay married to Jesus. Matter of fact, if you turn back to the law, you are committing adultery on your new spouse. You can't go back to your old covenant. Do you know the old covenant even says, once you leave a husband, if you marry another, you cannot leave that one and go back to the other one because it's unclean. That's not right. Listen, you cannot leave the old, marry the new, and then go back to the old. To do so is to commit adultery on the new. Every time I begin to try to be righteous by following the law, I'm committing adultery. I'm turning away from the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. You might say, well, then how are we to be righteous for God? If God's no longer over us saying, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, then how are we to be righteous for God? Certainly, if there's no law over us, we'll just do stupid things. But the truth of the matter is, nobody ever produced righteousness, even when they didn't do stupid things. The only way you're ever going to bear fruit for God is to believe in the power of what he accomplished at the cross, to confess what he did there, to believe in the power of that life. That's how you put on the new man. You don't put on the new man by trying not to commit adultery. You put on the new man by putting off the old and the way that he thinks. He's subject to the laws of the natural man. But the new man is created in true holiness and righteousness. And everything works by faith. It works by believing. It works by confessing. It works by bringing every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ and what he accomplished And if you'll keep your covenant with this new man, if you'll keep your covenant with this resurrected life, and you'll believe in it. Listen, even when you fail, don't go back to the law. Don't go, oh God, I can't believe I did. I'm so sorry, I'll try harder. You're committing adultery when you do that. That's why Paul said, if I turn to the law, I prove myself a lawbreaker. For through the law, I died to the law. You know what that means? It means that the law is the one that brought me to Jesus. If I turn back to it, then I commit adultery on Jesus. So listen, don't commit adultery on Jesus. When you see sin in your natural members, when you see sin in your body, when you see something lacking, when you see something that needs to be corrected, don't go back to the law, but believe that he's conquered it. Believe that he's already defeated what you're facing. For example, this may be confusing. So let me just give you a real simple example, and then we'll stop for today. When I see sin now, I'm learning. I wish I did it all the time. Most of the time I do, but it's a learning process. I have to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. The Holy Spirit's helping me every second of the day to try to get this right so we can enter into what Jesus accomplished. When I see sin, temper, frustration, inordinate lust, whatever it may be, when I see sin in me, I've learned to quit trying to ask God to forgive me and I'll try harder, or oh God, please, I can't believe I did that. I can't believe I didn't do that all the time is the truth. What I do now is I believe that he's conquered it. What I couldn't do and that I was weak through the flesh, he did by sending his son in the likeness of sinful flesh. He condemned sin in the flesh. He already defeated it. He conquered it. Everybody that belongs to Jesus has crucified the flesh with all of its affections and all of its lusts. When did they do that? At the cross, we died with him. So when I see sin now, I have to turn to the serpent on the staff and believe that he's crucified it. Believe that he's conquered it. And confess, you have been defeated. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Sin has been put to death and defeated in Jesus' name. And the more you believe and the more you confess, the more the venom of that serpent will get out of you and you'll quit doing stupid things because you'll start experiencing what the Bible calls the power of the resurrection. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead will quicken your mortal body. Oh, I hope you're getting this in Jesus' name. This is a quick, bam, word for you today, but I pray it sinks in all of us when we start to get it and believe what he did and start to see the power of what he did. In Jesus' name, God bless you.